Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? So good to see all of you here. First, let me check. Is everyone awake this morning? Oh, okay. I feel like there are some people that are still sleeping. So everybody that shouted just now, shout louder so that we can wake them up as well. Is everyone awake this morning?
Yeah!
There we go. My people are awake. This is great. Hey, my name is Sadara. For those of you who don't know me, I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks and also have the immense pleasure of speaking to you this morning. Now, we are in the third and final week of our series called Ghost Stories. And I'm so excited about speaking this morning because, you know, as I was preparing for this message, I really got a sense that God wants to do something powerful in each and every single one of our lives this morning. So if you're here and if you can hear me or you're joining us online, I believe that you're here not by some coincidence or not by some happy accident, but I believe you're here because God wanted you to be here. Because He wants to do something powerful in your life. Because the Holy Spirit wants to meet you this morning. He wants to encounter you. He wants you to experience Him again, afresh this morning. So as we start, can I encourage you? Would you lean in? Would you be expectant? Would you be encouraged that the Holy Spirit is here and He wants to meet with you this morning? Can we do that? Okay. Some people. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, more people. That's great. Fantastic. Well, you know, we titled this series The Ghost Stories, and I want to tell you that if maybe you haven't been here for the past few weeks, don't worry, I'm going to give you a very quick catch-up, a very quick rundown on what this series is all about. You know, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you weren't here last week, or 2 weeks ago, Pastor Daniel kicked us off so brilliantly, and he told us who the Holy Spirit was. And maybe you're here and you're new to faith, or maybe you're here but you're not interested in Christianity at all, which is totally fine, by the way. Welcome. So glad that you're here. Really cool that you decided to hang out with us this morning. But let me give you a quick introduction as to who the Holy Spirit is so that you're not in the dark for the remainder of our time here, okay? So here's who the Holy Spirit is. As Christians, we believe that there is one God. But this one God exists eternally in three persons. So we have God the Father, who is God. And then we have Jesus, the Son of God, who is also God. And then as Jesus was leaving this earth, He told us about the Holy Spirit that He is. He's also God. So you see, we have this one God that exists eternally in three persons, the Trinity. They're all different from each other. They're all distinct from each other. And yet, they're all one. Some of you are looking at me like, what? And I get it. It's a head-scratcher, isn't it? And that's why it's commonly called the mystery of the Trinity, this triune God, one God in three persons. And we, right now, we are focusing on this third person in the Trinity, the person, the God that is the Holy Spirit. And last week, Pastor Daniel talked to us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this week, I'm going to be talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? How does it happen? Why is it important to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to answer all of those questions. We're going to get a little bit technical this morning, so make sure you're staying with me. But my prayer for us at the end of today is that not only will we go away from here with some biblical knowledge, with some biblical truths, because that is important, but also that we will experience the Holy Spirit. That we won't just talk about the Holy Spirit, that we'll also encounter and experience the Holy Spirit for ourselves. And so before we dive right in, why don't you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank You that You sent us this amazing gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you came to dwell and live and breathe among us. And as I speak, Holy Spirit, would you anoint my words? Would they go far and deep? As deep connects to deep, Holy Spirit, would you connect these words in the hearts of your people this morning? And would we encounter you? Would we experience you? Would we be filled by you again this morning in a fresh, new way? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We desire you. We long to be touched by you this morning. And everyone who agrees with me said, amen, amen, amen. Amazing. Okay, well, as we kick off, I've got a really important question to ask you. Okay, it's really important, so let's all be paying attention. And let me just tell you what the question is. Here's the question. Who here is familiar with Wee Willie Winkie? Anyone here familiar with... Oh, a few people familiar. Let's put up a picture of Wee Willie Winkie. See, that's what Wee Willie Winkie looks like. Anybody else familiar with Wee Willie Winkie, or is just like the four people that raised their hands? The four people that raised their hands. Well, did you all grow up in Sri Lanka, or, well, Dev did, but let me tell you, Wee Willie Winkie, if you haven't been introduced to him before, comes from a Scottish nursery rhyme that goes a little bit like this. The words are gonna come up on the screen. Wee Willie Winkie runs through the town, upstairs and downstairs in his nightgown, tapping at the window, crying at the lock. Are the children in their bed? It's past 8 o'clock. I say 8 o'clock because my parents told me it was 8 o'clock. They did not tell me that it was 10 o'clock. Now, Wee Willie Winkie was my worst nightmare growing up as a child. You need to understand, my parents told my brother and I that if we were not in bed by 8 o'clock, that Wee Willie Winkie would come knocking at the window, check if we were asleep, and if we were not asleep, that he would take us away into a faraway land. Oh, you're laughing. That's great. I'm glad my childhood trauma amuses you. That's cool. That's okay. But I was petrified of Wee Willie Winkie. And every night, my brother and I would run to bed, pull the covers over our head, and try and fall asleep as fast as humanly possible before Wee Willie Winkie came. But you see, the threat of Wee Willie Winkie didn't just contain itself to bedtime. Oh no. You see, every time we didn't eat our vegetables, or every time we didn't brush our teeth, or we didn't do our homework, Wee Willie Winkie's job description kept getting larger and larger and larger, depending on the need of the day. Also, our neighbors were all in this conspiracy together. See, they would tell us that they saw Wee Willie Winkie the night before looking through our window to make sure that my brother and I were asleep. It was so creepy, and I was traumatized. But now that's my childhood trauma. I don't know if you had a version of Wee Willie Winkie growing up. Maybe there was some other mythical creature that, you know, character that you were afraid of, that you were scared of, that freaked you out. But you see, often I find that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we approach Him the same way we approach our version of Wee Willie Winkie. You know, we call this series Ghost Stories because in the King James Version, which is a translation of the Bible, it refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And the video that you saw before I came up, now that's a fun little play on the word ghost, but you see, isn't that often accurate as to how we approach the Holy Spirit? With fear and nervousness? Because we find the very idea of the Holy Spirit spooky and creepy and weird. But you see, our goal during the course of this series has been to demystify the Holy Spirit, to take the fear away by talking about biblical truths to do with the Holy Spirit, to tell you that there's nothing to be afraid of because this Holy Spirit is so gentle and beautiful and amazing. And actually, the Holy Spirit is not optional. He's essential to this life that we have been called to live. The Holy Spirit is not optional for your life. He is essential to the life that God has called us to live. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 16. He's preparing the disciples for his death, and he says, in fact, it is better for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the Greek word there is paraclete, which refers to the Holy Spirit. He says, if I don't go away, the advocate won't come, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. Hey, it's best for you if I go away. What do you mean, Jesus? It's best for me that you leave? It's best for me that you go away. It's best for me that you're not here. Surely, surely not. Can you imagine what it would be like to have Jesus walking and talking and living among us? Drinking coffee with him, going to Frio for Cicerello's with him. How cool would that be? Surely you don't mean that, Jesus. Surely it's not best for me that you go away. But Jesus says, no. No, no, it's better for you, Anzalet. Hey, it's better for you, John. It's best for you, Daniel, that I go away. Why? Because when I go away, he will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And he will come and he will make his home with you. See, that was the plan all along, that the Holy Spirit would come and live with us. But hey, the Holy Spirit didn't just come to live with us. No, listen to this. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be what? In you. The Holy Spirit didn't just come to be with us. He came to live inside of us. He came to live and breathe and dwell within you so that he will be with you both now and forevermore. So when does that happen? When do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? When does the Holy Spirit come and start dwelling inside of us? Well, this is what Paul tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. What is he saying? He's essentially saying that all of us have been baptized, have been filled with the Spirit when we became members of the body of Jesus Christ. You see, if you're a Christian here this morning, that means when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you became a Christian, when you became a member of this family of God, of this body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit came to live and to dwell inside you. And he has been working and living and being with you ever since. If you're a Christian here this morning, you already have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, I don't want to get into a whole theological debate this morning, but perhaps there are some of you who sit there and say, well, actually, Sid, that's not exactly what I've heard. I've heard that you have to be filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit a second time, apart from receiving him. Now, I understand where that comes from, because people look at the disciples when they receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and say, surely, filling of the Spirit must be like that, like in Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It's talking about the disciples. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So some people believe that in order to be filled with the Spirit, you have to have some kind of dramatic encounter, and it has to result in speaking in tongues, just like it did for the Holy Spirit. Now, do some people get filled with the Spirit that way? Yes. But is that a pattern to be filled with the Spirit for everyone? No, it isn't. You see, the disciples, they were living at a very unique point in history. They were living at a time of the transition between the old covenant work of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not a pattern for us, because you and I, we are no longer living at a point of transition. You and I now come under the new covenant work of the Holy Spirit. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he says, now we have all been baptized. We have all been filled with the Holy Spirit as we were baptized into one body. We already received the Holy Spirit. Now, also, some people say, well, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is if you can speak in tongues. Now, some of you might be like, what do you mean when you say speaking in tongues? Well, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit, like Pastor Daniel was talking to us about last week. And it simply means some people have the ability to speak in languages that are unknown to them, languages that are foreign to them. And it's an ability, a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. And in this church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that they're for us to use in our day and in our time. But the Bible makes it really clear, as Pastor Daniel explained to us last week, that not every gift of the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. That's right. And that includes speaking in tongues. So then it would be illogical for us to assume that being filled with the Spirit would automatically result in speaking in tongues. You know, if you look at the Bible, there are plenty of examples of people who got filled with the Spirit and didn't result in speaking in tongues. Jesus was one of them. In Luke chapter 4, we see at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And what did it result in? It resulted in strength to overcome temptation when he was led into the desert. In Luke chapter 1, we read about Zechariah, who was filled with the Spirit, and he began to prophesy. Or we read about Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, who was filled with the Spirit, and she spoke a word of blessing to Mary. You see, there are so many examples of the Holy Spirit coming upon someone, in filling someone, and they didn't result in speaking in tongues. Now, what am I saying? Can it not happen? Of course it can happen. It's just that it doesn't happen to everyone. And that's okay. Neither is better than the other. It's just different. It's just different. Okay, that's cool. But wait a minute. You know, I've heard or I've experienced myself that sometimes, you know, people go, they get prayed for and they receive a filling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes people have said that they get warm and they get goosebumps and they feel shivers up and down their spine, or they got filled with uncontrollable joy. What about that? Isn't that a filling of the Holy Spirit? Is that not the second filling of the Holy Spirit? Can we be filled with the Holy Spirit again, even after receiving the Holy Spirit when we first became Christians? The answer to that is yes. Yes, we can be. Not everybody needs to have a dramatic experience, but yes, we can be filled with the Spirit. But the better answer to that is that we must be. We must be filled again and again and again and again and again. A second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. For all the days of our lives, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians verse chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." We're going to have a little Greek lesson now. The Greek word there for that verb, be filled, is actually, Paul uses a present tense imperative verb, which is actually more explicitly translated like this. It says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not a one-time occurrence. That's a continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, for all the days of our lives, he says, be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you've got your mobile charger, you've got your phone, you've got your iPhone. What do you do to make sure that it's got enough power? You plug it into a power source. You charge your phone every day, don't you? Because that's what gives it the power to work as it was designed to work. Our Christian lives are exactly like that. This is what Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power. But maybe you look around your life and you say, well, Sid, I don't see much power. There's not that much power in my life. And a lot of us as Christians, we live our lives on a battery-saving mode. You know that mode that your iPhone goes into when it's low on power? That's how a lot of us live our lives. You can function, you can do some stuff, but it doesn't function to the best that it was designed to function. Our Christian lives are exactly like that, continually filled with the Holy Spirit, over and over and over again. You see, it's not that we don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. The problem is, the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough of us. It's not that we don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that the Holy Spirit doesn't have enough of us. Because we don't live connected, yielded, tapped in to the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so when we don't live according to the Holy Spirit the way that we were intended to live, we live without the power of the Holy Spirit that was always designed to be ours. And it's so important that we do. It's so important that we live connected to the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, listen to the rest of that verse that Jesus says. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Someone once said, "A momentary encounter with the Holy Spirit will change your life, but a lifetime of encounter with the Holy Spirit will change the world." You see, why was the Holy Spirit given to us? Was it so that we could say, "Ooh, I did that miracle, look at me," or, "Hey bro, great prophecy, you're doing that so well," so we can tap ourselves on the back and feel good about ourselves? No, that's not why we got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that our lives would be a testimony to the goodness and the glory of God. The Holy Spirit came so that he could glorify Jesus in and through our lives, so that our lives would be a living and breathing testimony to who God is. That people can look at our lives and say, "Hey, there's something different about them. Hey, what do you think? What do you think is working in their lives? What is that? How are they so like this? How are they so like that?" It's the Holy Spirit working the power and the character of Jesus in us so that people look at us and they see him. "He will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit came so that our lives would be a living witness to the glory and the goodness of God. But if we don't stay in step, if we don't stay connected, if we don't stay yielded to the Holy Spirit, if we don't keep continually being filled, we don't have this power that was always meant to be ours. So what's the drop? How do we keep continually being filled? How do we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? How do we live yielded to the Holy Spirit? Really quickly, I'm going to talk to you about three things this morning. First one is this: to be yielded, to be filled, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Firstly, we must acknowledge him. We must acknowledge the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said this: "It would, however, be useless to tell anyone how to be filled with the Spirit unless he first believes that he can be." It would be useless to tell someone how to be filled with the Spirit unless that person first believes that he can be. Let's stop for a moment. Let's just pause right here. Right now, as you're sitting and listening to the sound of my voice, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Really, I'm not talking about the Christian answer that everybody wants, but really, truly, in the depths of your heart, every day of your Christian life, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is for you? Do you believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit? That whoever you are, that whatever you've done, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and now that there is a power inside of you that is yours, available to you, purposed, meant for you, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? Because you see, whatever you acknowledge about the Holy Spirit will influence how you live. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read this verse already. Paul says, "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." It's interesting that Paul chooses drunkenness to contrast to being filled with the Spirit. Now, think back. This might be a long way back for some of us. When was the last time you were drunk? Now, I'm sure no one in this room has ever had any experience of that, obviously. I mean, I myself only have very second, third-hand accounts of what that's actually like. So, I mean, I don't know. But from what I've heard, when you get drunk, when you are under the influence of alcohol, you start thinking differently. You know, you're like, yeah, I'm the man, I'm the woman, I got this. Yeah, you start walking differently. Apparently, you kind of get a little bit of a swag, you know? I don't know if this is swag. I'm not very swag, as you can tell. Apparently, when you're under the influence of alcohol, you start talking differently. You're like, yeah, come at me, bro. You want a piece of this? Come get it. Yeah, get big, get confident. You see, you start feeling differently. We have a friend, whenever he gets drunk, he always loves everyone. He starts kissing everyone. He's like, I love you. And people get drunk or people use alcohol for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's because you just want to feel some joy. Sometimes it's because you want to numb the pain. Sometimes it's because you just need some Dutch courage, you know, just need a swig of that before I give that speech. Sometimes it's because you just want to forget about the worries and the cares of the world. Sometimes you just want to feel secure. You use alcohol for a variety of different reasons. But you see, when you start acknowledging the Holy Spirit in your life, you realize that what the world offers in terms of drink and drugs or whatever that is actually a bad imitation. It's a cheap counterfeit for the reality of the Holy Spirit, of what you're really looking for, which is found in the person and in the power of who the Holy Spirit is. So, you know, maybe the next time, perhaps you have a bad day at work, or you have a fight with your spouse, or you have a fight with your friend, and you just want to feel good. Just want to feel good. Maybe you won't reach for that fourth glass of wine or for that donut. Maybe you'll acknowledge the Holy Spirit who lives in you, because John 14 says that he's your comforter. Maybe the next time you want to feel happy, you want to feel some joy, you want to feel like you want to smile, maybe you'll acknowledge the Holy Spirit and put down that shot of vodka, because 1 Thessalonians says that there is a joy given to us by the Holy Spirit. You know, the next time that you need some courage, you need some confidence, you have a big meeting at work, a big presentation, maybe you'll acknowledge the Holy Spirit in your life, because Ephesians 3 says that by the power of the Spirit, he can cause you to be strengthened in your innermost being. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. Maybe the next time you feel insecure and alone and you don't know who you are and you just feel like you don't belong anywhere, you'll acknowledge the Holy Spirit, because in Romans 8 it says that the Spirit himself, it testifies with our spirit to say, to remind us that we are children of the Most High God. Maybe the next time you feel like you are in the midst of an unspeakable tragedy, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life that has torn you apart. And you've wanted to find the words to cry out to God. You've wanted to find the words to pray. But you're in so much pain that you just could not. Well, Romans 8:26 says that the Spirit himself is present in our weakness, and that he intercedes for us with groans that are too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is present in your life, in every single situation. So what do you need this morning? What are you looking for? Is it joy? Is it comfort? Do you need peace? Do you need courage? Do you need security? Do you need a family? What do you need this morning? Because whatever you need, I'm here to tell you this morning that it's found in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, who already lives and breathes and works inside of you. What you're looking for is already within, because that's exactly where he is. And he's with you. So you can turn to him, reach out to him, acknowledge him. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit in every single day, in every single situation. Secondly, to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to simply ask. In Luke chapter 11, it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" To keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled to a greater measure, all you got to do is ask. You know, sometimes we think that the power of the Holy Spirit is just for the things that look supernatural. Oh, it's just for miracles. It's just for prophecy. It's just for healing. That's all the Holy Spirit is about. And that's not true at all. Because you see, part of the power of the Holy Spirit is that he's able to work the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, they're not as sexy or as glamorous as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but boy, are they essential. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If you need these things, all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to work in you so that you will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you, Holy Spirit. Would you work your love in me? I'm finding it so difficult to forgive that person, Holy Spirit. I'm consumed by hate. Would you move on my behalf? Would you work in me so that I can produce the fruit of love? All you have to do is ask, and he will produce the work in you so that you will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to skip a few things because we don't have time. And then lastly, if we want to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got to act in line with the Holy Spirit. We've got to act in line with the Holy Spirit. You know, some people think that when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like he takes over this remote control and he starts flying this plane and you have no control at all. Now that is the wrong understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We always have a choice. We always have a choice whether we follow the Holy Spirit or not. The correct way to think about this is more like the Holy Spirit. He's like a control tower. Let's go to the next picture. That's it. He's like a control tower, and he leads and guides and empowers. But it's our choice whether we want to follow that flight plan or not. It's up to us. We make that choice to live and move and step in line with the Holy Spirit. Really quickly, I want to tell you this morning that sometimes when you have the Holy Spirit, he leads you and guides you to act, to take a step of faith, to be courageous, to step out of your comfort zone. We had a leaders' day probably 2 weeks ago now, and as I was praying for this session of prayer and worship that we had on the day, I really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to make a way in the area of physical and emotional healing. And so on the day, we gathered the leaders, and the leaders, they themselves prayed for each other, for anyone who was sick. And at the end of that day, I have a picture of Yeski here. Yeski recently, I don't know if he's here, he's probably in the next service. He recently had an operation on his ACL and he needs crutches to walk anywhere. And at the start of the morning, he told me that he was in so much pain that he couldn't even stand without his crutches. And after this prayer time, there he is. He was trying to do the moonwalk and he was holding his crutches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is able to work the power of his Spirit in and among us. I got a text from Arianti, one of our small group leaders, a few days after that. And she said this, "Hey Sid, last Saturday on the Rocks Leaders Day, a few people prayed for my back pain. It's been something that has been constant and I've been having it from time to time. I want to let you know that now I can't feel a thing. Even though the chiropractor did help, it was at the time that they prayed for me that those prayers made an impact, and I believe that by Jesus' blood, I am healed." Yeah. Praise God, hey? Do I have a specific gift of healing? No, I don't. All I did was be obedient to where the Holy Spirit led me. Yeah. And it's the same for all of us. You see, this is not just reserved for pastors and preachers and an elite few. No, this is the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to us all. This is how we're all supposed to live, in line, in step, walking with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to look this way and say, "Oh, they're so spiritual." No, the only difference between us and them is that they create room in their lives for the Holy Spirit. They say yes to the Holy Spirit. They take a step of faith. If you want to keep being filled continually with the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge him. We must ask for more of him. And we must act in line with his leading. the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit available for all of us today. And as I finish, listen to this. Pastor Daniel referenced it in the first part of our gathering. It says in Romans 8:11, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. You know, the Bible tells us that there is a cross of Jesus Christ. And on that cross, because God so loved us, because God so loved you and me, that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. And because of that cross, you and I have now been forgiven. We've been set free from the bondage and the power of sin and death. We now stand redeemed. But you see, Jesus didn't just come to die. This sinless Savior didn't just come to die. No, Jesus also rose again. Yeah. And now His resurrection means that we have that same resurrection power living and breathing and working inside of us. You see, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that raised Him from the ground, the same power that conquered sin now lives and breathes in you and me. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? The same power that conquered the grave, the same power that broke the chains of sin and death, that same power lives and moves inside of you. Listen, this morning, if you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, if you need Him to make a way in some area in your life, if you are sick, if you are infirm this morning, if you need healing this morning, if you need breakthrough this morning, if you need some obstacles removed, if you need the peace of God this morning, would you just open up your heart? Would you raise up your faith? And would you raise your hands? Would you sing and declare this truth and believe that as you declare it, that the Holy Spirit will come and fill you again? Come on, church, let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.